Hey there, welcome to the Client Podcast. This is Willow Weston, and I get to host this podcast every single week, and I absolutely love talking to people who are running right smack dab into Jesus and experiencing His power and His goodness and His presence and His purpose. I hope you're experiencing that today, and if you aren't, you're in the right place, friend, because this podcast will inspire you every single week. Subscribe and it'll come to your inbox where you can hear stories of people who will uplift your faith and encourage you. And so I'm glad you're here. And today I got to sit down and have a hard convo with Melissa Olson, who just came out in the last couple of years with her debut memoir, Broken Girl Fly. And she bravely shares the story of her childhood sexual abuse that she experienced in this book. And so we talk about that story. And it's a hard subject to tackle. So if you're in a hurting place today, if you're in a place where you have some stuff that's still in the dark, I think her story will inspire you. But also, if you want to just see someone who says, you know what, I'm going to go first, and I would be brave, and I'm going to share my story in the hopes that it'll help heal others, that's the story today. So take a listen. Hey, Melissa, it's so good to have you on the podcast today.
So good to be here.
I have so many things I want to ask you about. You also live in the Pacific Northwest. Of course, you're in Portland and I'm up in Bellingham. We're so excited. We're going to be having our first conference in Portland this next year in 2025. Yeah. So we're bringing Collide on the road and headed to your city, girl. And we are so excited.
I am so excited. I got to attend one conference in Bellingham with a good friend, and it was amazing. I'm so excited that you're going to be here.
Oh, yeah. Now you don't have to drive so far and leave your boxer. I hear you're kind of obsessed with your English bulldog.
Yeah, I love my English bulldog. The boxer is actually my son's dog, and he's also a great puppy. He is so high energy, and my bulldogs are, you know, they just like to nap, and they like their treats, and they like, you know, a walk maybe around the block, not too far. Yeah. So they're a little more my speed.
Yeah. I just
love them both.
Your bio, it's like you're a mix of a woman from Britain and like someone from like the 1970s. Like, you love your lazy English bulldog and you enjoy disco music, the smell of old books, and a hot cup of blackberry tea.
Yes.
Do you listen to disco music while drinking tea and reading books?
No, I think that tea and books go well together. You know, disco music is what I listen to when I'm celebrating and I want to dance around the kitchen. And I would say that's about the one time any of my bulldogs ever get lively with me. So I turn on the disco music and they're like, oh, it's playtime, you know, for 10 minutes. So it is just, yeah.
By disco music, what do you mean? Like, what's your favorite disco song ever?
I don't know that I have a favorite disco song ever. You know, ABBA, Dancing Queen. That's always a good go-to. Mostly I ask Alexa and she just carries me back to when I was a little girl and Casey and the Sunshine Band and Michael Jackson. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, it's just an opportunity to celebrate, in a way that is very human, but also just makes me feel like a little kid.
I love it. I love it. Well, speaking of little kid, you have been incredibly brave. You've come out with your memoir, Broken Girl Fly, which dives deeply into really personal topics, including your childhood sexual abuse that you experienced. What made you decide to share this story?
You know, I think, well, number one, I'm not the only one in the room. I cannot be the only person who deals with that kind of pain or who has dealt with that kind of pain, who has been through that kind of trauma. And it's something that we don't take out and talk about. I felt very compelled by the Lord after I experienced a significant amount of healing to basically be the one to go first. I felt compelled to write it because I am not the girl who was broken by abuse. I am not the girl who lives in that dark space. In fact, when I look back into that dark space today, all I see is the Lord. I just see Jesus. And to have made it out of that space and be where I'm at today, I felt the need to share.
Did you go through a period of time where you thought about the idea of sharing and then you tried to talk yourself out of it?
Oh, yes, I did. I wrestled a lot with the Lord over that. And I wrestled with it for several years. And he had to take me very gently by the hand and lead me into a space, multiple spaces where I felt sharing that even on paper. So yeah, it was a wrestling for sure. And it was definitely the kindness of Jesus that gave me the ability to do it.
Now, did you keep your story a secret your whole life and then you came out with it in a book? Or had you shared with friends or family members what happened to you as a child?
I kept it a secret from family members, anyone who was in my life at that time. I didn't actually share that with, say, my mother's best friend or aunts or uncles or cousins until I had written the book and was getting ready to publish it. And then I felt like I need to have a conversation with certain people in my life because it wouldn't be fair to blindside them with a book. I had told members of my church, so you know, I started sharing in Bible study just around the table, and then I would share, the leaders would invite me to come up and share maybe from the stage to a small intimate group of women or like 50 or 60 ladies would be in attendance there. So I would share in that way, but it was predominantly a secret.
Wow.
I only felt safe sharing in church, where I knew I was loved and accepted mm-hmm. just the way that I was.
How did those conversations go for you when you decided to let friends and family in on the truth about your story?
They went well. It was hard. It was so hard to, especially tell my mom's best friend, people who were really close to the family. But it was not received. It would take me days to call them. And it put off publishing the book because I had, so many of those people that I needed to speak to. They all loved me. They all loved me right where I was. I didn't receive any kind of questioning. There were no accusations. It was just love and acceptance.
For people listening who don't know your story, they haven't read your book, Broken Girl Fly, were you abused by someone in your family? So this was like outing someone in your family when you shared with family, or were you hurt by someone outside your family?
Yes, it was my dad. It was my biological father. And my parents were married until, they never divorced and they never separated. So my father was in my life. Until he died, basically.
Yeah. And how old were you when he passed away?
He passed away in 2019, so I would have been 48.
So you didn't tell anyone about this until after he passed?
My younger brother knew about it. My husband knew about it. I had a handful of friends, like I said, at the church who knew about it. Mm-hmm. But that's a handful of people who knew about it. And no one else knew about it.
Mm-hmm. Were you just petrified to say anything while your dad was alive? What was that experience like for you to think about telling your story? Because you did it in such a public way, writing a book. So I can imagine, like, for a girl who had held it in for decades and decades and decades, that must have been really intimidating.
It was intimidating and it was petrifying, but at the same time that it was scary, I couldn't not do it. I can't describe the need to let people know what the Lord had done. And that was just the bigger part of it. You know, the abuse was bad. And I was petrified. I was petrified to tell anyone. You know, when I first started going to counseling, I was petrified to tell the counselor. But the Lord had done so many good things in my life. And every time I would share, whether it was with my husband at the very beginning, or whether it was with a good friend or my counselor or in a support group, or then later at church, and the audience would just get broader and broader. Every time I would share, I would heal. There were just layers and layers and layers of healing to be had every time I would speak. And so I feel like I was just being pulled into the light and out of darkness. And that's how I arrived at being able to tell it so publicly and so boldly.
When you think about people listening who still have pain that's sitting in darkness, what do you think happens to us when we keep dark things in the dark?
Oh, I think that we don't flourish in the dark. Flowers don't grow in the dark. They grow in the light. So I think that when we keep things in the dark, as hard as it is to bring those out and as hard as it is, and I mean hard, I would shake. You know, I would just, at the very beginning, I would shake, but it's baby steps. And I think that when we find the courage and we allow the Lord into those spaces to help us grow and to help us speak and to help us share, and to recognize that we are not alone. The lies that are told in the darkness tell us that we're all alone, you know, especially with sexual abuse, because those are in those intimate places that the Lord created to be had with, you know, our spouse and with Him. And those are not meant to be broadcast. And so I think it's really hard with sexual abuse, especially to talk about what's happened to us. But I think that bringing those things out into the light and recognizing that the Lord invites us to bring those things out into the light gives us the courage and then gives us the healing that we need to flourish and grow and be the beautiful women the Lord created us to be.
So what does that look like for you? When were you first invited to bring this out into the light and hand it to the Lord?
About 15 years ago. So I felt compelled to write. I, you know, had been through therapy and I'd been through a support group and I was coming out of this darkness and I thought I should write a book. I should tell the world what, you know, how I've been healed. So I took a creative writing class and that went really well. But of course, I didn't have the courage to just write those things down and go share it with 40 or 50 people I didn't know in a writing class. So I prayed about it and I waited and I waited for the Lord. And then 5 or 6 years after I took that class, I again just felt like a pebble in my shoe or a burr in my saddle that I needed to start writing. And it was a long process. Like I said, the Lord took me by the hand and led me out very slow.
So you feel like a huge part of your healing started with you putting your story down on paper.
Yes.
You being honest with yourself about what you experienced. Gotcha. Yes.
Let's be friends, like the kind of friends who tell each other everything. Drop your email using the link in our show notes so we can keep you up to date on all the latest Collide news, give you exclusive discounts, and share exciting announcements. You'll get a newsletter sent straight to your inbox twice a month. And don't worry, we promise we won't send you any spam. Just curated content that feels way more like an exciting message from your BFF. Subscribe to the Collide newsletter today and be the first to know about all things Collide.
So you feel like a huge part of your healing started with you putting your story down on paper.
Yes.
You being honest with yourself. About what you experienced. Gotcha.
Yes.
Do you look back and wish that you would have come out from the darkness sooner, as far as with your family, that you would have told your story sooner and not waited till you were in your 40s?
You know, I hadn't really ever thought about that before. I know that when I felt the compassion and the love and the response from some family members and friends that, why didn't you say anything? You know, we would have helped you. Mm. I felt like I should have said something way sooner. Absolutely. If I would have known that I had a soft place, I would have had a soft place to land at the time, then I would have said something far sooner. Mm-hmm. Than I did, yes.
In your mind, did you think that it wasn't safe for you to share?
Absolutely.
What did you think would happen if you shared?
I felt like my world, as I knew it, would have come tumbling down. Like the whole scaffolding of the world that I was holding together inside of those lies would have fallen apart, and I would not have known myself, and I would not have known the people around me. And I believe that those were things that were built up in my childhood that were meant to keep me quiet, mm-hmm. and they were lies. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just felt like my whole world was going to fall apart. And I also felt like people were going to look at me like I was dirty or like I was shameful. You know, that shame had been put on me by the perpetrator. It wasn't mine to own. But at that time, I didn't know that. So that also, you know, kept me from coming forward and saying anything.
Right. It's interesting because it's almost like you were convinced that your silence in the darkness protected you.
Yeah. Exactly. And the people around me, you know, I didn't want to shake up their world. I didn't want them to have to deal with the things that I was having to deal with. So I believed that I was protecting people by not saying anything, mm-hmm. which is a lie.
Mm-hmm. When you think about people listening who might be living in that place where they're protecting other people at their own expense, what's your advice for them?
You're not protecting people. You know, I think that we think that protecting people like that is a form of love. And to not hold another person accountable and allow them the opportunity to grow through the things that they've done and to apologize and to find forgiveness and for the perpetrator to heal and redeem. You know, that is love. Speaking the truth in love is love. And so me coming out and confronting the perpetrator and me telling my story allowed my father to own what he did, not only with me, but with his peers. It allowed him to have forgiveness and healing and to see Jesus. So, you know, I think it is, you know, absolutely, you know, critical that you come out and speak about what's been done to you.
What did you experience when you finally came out with your story? What did you experience with your dad?
Well, you know, I mentioned it to him before I wrote the book that I was considering writing a book. And he's the one who told me to write it. Mm. He's the one who encouraged me to write the book and to tell people what Jesus has done. You know, for me and ultimately for him, he was the criminal and he got to watch Jesus redeem the dark things that he had done. So it was received when I had confronted my dad a couple of different times. So at first it was not well received. You know, at first he was angry, you know, he went through his own mental breakdown. He was terrified. But in the end, after walking through all of that, you know, he also found freedom there was, I believe, full redemption in that space.
That's incredible. That's crazy. You named your book Broken Girl Fly. Why?
That is the name that the Lord gave me. You know, titling a book is such a challenging thing because you want the reader to know what it's about. And it has to be inviting. And I am a broken girl. I think that we are healed and then things happen in life that hurt us and break us again. And there's healing. But I'm also a girl who flies. You know, I'm also a girl who soars high on the wings of the Lord and sees life from a different perspective. And I think it's possible for us to dance to disco music and sing and see the beauty of life while still walking through healing and walking through things that are really hard and brutal.
Absolutely. We talk a lot around here about colliding with Jesus, about this idea that Jesus runs into our broken places, into our mess, into our pain, and he brings healing. And the more we collide with him, the more healing he brings. What was your process like, you know, since being a little girl where you've experienced Jesus running into your pain and bringing healing? What's that look like for you?
Oh, it's looked like so many things. It's looked like learning about who he is and learning to trust him in his entirety. It has looked like wrestling and struggling and sitting out in the middle of my field behind my house in the middle of a July day when it's 85 degrees and flannel pajamas and a beanie on and just yelling and crying and asking him all of the questions that I don't understand. It's, you know, been resting in his arms and being patient with him while he is patient with me while I'm learning to grow. You know, it's learning to passionately fall in love with him and trust him as a father when my father was so brutal, and getting to see the Lord in all that he is, all that is good and true and right and excellent and trustworthy and praiseworthy and just majestic and beautiful, as opposed to the brutality that I experienced as a little girl, you know, with my dad. So colliding with him has been painful, but in the most beautiful, breathtaking way.
Why do you think you didn't do what a lot of us do, which is push God away and say, where were you? Why didn't you protect me? Why didn't you stop that? Why didn't you project your issues with your dad onto God? What made you keep hoping in God, keep trusting in God, do all these things you just described where you were like wrestling with him, calling out to him, embracing him, trying to continue to praise him? Why did you go that direction instead of the other one?
You know, well, first of all, I think that it's him. I think that I just have this picture of the Lord holding on to us when we cry and holding on to us when we fight. And he's big enough to handle our emotions. And to be in the presence of a God like that eventually just humbles you. I also think that it's my mom. I had a beautiful mom. And my mom, she loved me in a way that no other human ever has. And so I got to taste and experience the woman who dropped me off at church and let me parade around the house singing Jesus Loves Me, you know, at the top of my lungs when I was a little girl. I just think that the Lord is sweet. But also we have to remember that Jesus hung on a cross. You know, he experienced our pain. We don't have a God that is high up in the heavens and looks down and says, it'll be nice to meet you one day. We have a God who intimately enters our pain and entered our pain on a cross and knew what it was like to be spit on, and knew what it was like to be hit, and knew what it was like to hang there naked and be mocked. And, you know, he experienced such cruelty that if I know a God that was willing to leave his throne and come down and enter flesh and the vulnerability of being a baby and, you know, live a life that was sacrificial, show us nothing but kindness and goodness, and then go and, you know, give his life up in such a brutal way for me, then he has entered my pain fully and I don't feel alone. So I believe that I migrate toward the Lord Jesus because he's a God who suffered.
You've bared your soul with this story, and I'm curious if you've seen it impact other people and what that's been like for you.
The biggest impact that I have seen is on my little brother. And he grew up not knowing about the abuse. You know, I had mentioned it to him a couple times when we were growing up, but it was not, that's too big for a child to carry. That was too big for him to carry. So the impact that my sharing, which forced him to share, you know, has brought him a tremendous amount of healing. And I, you know, and yeah, it has impacted women around me. You know, anytime I share at Bible study or I sit in a small group of women, even before writing the book, and I would share what had been done to me and how the Lord healed me, there was always another woman who would share with me her story. And so, you know, I have experienced that, the blessing of knowing that the stories impacted other women even before I wrote the book.
It's amazing how when we share our stories, we give other people permission to share theirs. And I just read a statistic today, and I don't have it memorized, but it was staggering the amount of women who are sexually assaulted and the amount of children who are sexually abused that never report. It was something between 80 and 90% for both. That means that 80 to 90% of people who've been sexually traumatized never talk about it. I would imagine that you being brave and sharing your story has given other people permission to share theirs. And like you said, when we bring it out of the darkness into the light, that's when Jesus can come in and bring healing and help us. And so yes. I love so much that you have shared your story. I want to ask you before we close up our time together, I know there's people listening who have experienced hard, traumatic things and they're still hurting so badly. What's your advice for them today?
Oh, it's hold on and keep going and keep seeking the Lord. You know, ask him for help and expect him to show up, and don't be afraid to do the things that he has asked you to do. Is it therapy? Is it telling a friend, visiting your pastor, you know, telling your spouse? The very first step is the hardest step. And there will be steps afterwards that will be hard and painful. But as you go, the Lord will meet you there. He will meet you there, and he is so kind to bring you out, take you where it is that he wants you to go, which is healing and redemption.
Well, and someday those who are listening who feel like there's no possible way will one day look back and see that they're also broken girls who can now fly. So we wait for that day with great anticipation. It is so great to talk to you, Melissa, about your story. How can people follow and connect with you and your book and what you're up to?
They can go to brokengirlfly.com, and from there, there's more information on the book and the locations where it can be found. My email is there. Any social media connections, you know, that I have are there. So I would just welcome them to visit me at brokengirlfly.com.
Awesome. Thank you for hanging out with us today, Melissa.
Thank you.
Friend, I hope that as you just listened to that interview, that you know deeply that Jesus meets you in the darkest of places, the hardest of places, the most secret of places, the places that hurt. He can handle anything you have going, anything you've held in, anything that you want to bring out into the open. And if you're not in a place where you have any such thing, maybe you can be inspired today to be someone who lives in such a way and relates in such a way that everyone you collide with feels like they can bring out into the light what they've been keeping in the dark. Friend, I hope that this story encouraged you to be brave with your story, to give other people permission slip to share their pain, and may we all keep colliding with the one who can heal us, who can help us, who can rescue us, and who can help us fly again. We'll catch you next week.